Good morning, everyone, and along with Charlie, I too want to welcome everyone here this morning. I want to thank all of you for being here on this fine day that the Lord has blessed us with. I do ask you to open your Bibles and follow along with me, for as always, I don't want you to take my word, only the word of God. Our lesson this morning is, how can I know that I am a Christian? How can I know and be sure that I am saved? So let's start this morning by turning our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Now, of all the things that a man or woman can be on this earth, there is nothing more wonderful or more important to be than a Christian. The Apostle Paul tells us that all spiritual blessings in heavenly places are found in Christ in Ephesians 1 and verse 3, and of those blessings alone we could speak of for a year. In verses 4 through 13, Paul tells us those spiritual blessings bestowed by God on those who are Christians, members of the body of Christ, members of the church of Christ. Look with me at verse 4 of chapter 1 where we read, He hath chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. In verse 5, we find that He predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself. In verse 6, we are told that He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. In verse 7, the blessing talked about is redemption. And we find that in Christ He has given us, verse 7, redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin. As we look at verse 9, we read that He hath made known unto us the mystery of His will. In verse 11, we are told that He hath caused us to have obtained an inheritance. And in verse 13, that He has sealed us with the Holy Spirit of promise. In addition to all these marvelous spiritual blessings enjoyed by those who are Christians, there are also the promises that we have. Promises that serve as an anchor to our souls when the waves and the winds of life struggles beat upon our hearts. These promises are called by Peter in 2 Peter 1 and verse 4, exceedingly great and precious promises. Brethren and friends, there is nothing, nothing that this world has to offer that can compare to being a Christian. But now we need to ask a very important question. How can I know that I am a Christian? How can I go through life truly sure that the Lord is walking with me? How can I lay my head down on my pillow at night with complete confidence based upon fact that all is well for me if Jesus should return before I awake? These are questions that need to be considered, brethren and friends, because they deal with the most important subject that can possibly be dealt with. They deal with eternity and the salvation of our souls. Can I know that I am a Christian and saved if the Lord returns this morning on the basis of my feelings? If I feel saved, is that all the assurance that I need? So many folks will say, well, I know in my heart that I'm saved. Well, is that good enough? Is a feeling deep in my heart sufficient evidence for my salvation? Now I guess that such a feeling would be good enough evidence if it were true that feelings were never wrong. I suppose it would be good enough if it were not possible for someone to be misinformed and to base their feelings upon something that is just not true. Come with me, if you will, to Genesis, the 37th chapter. Genesis chapter 37. Now in Genesis 37, we read of Joseph, the favorite son of Jacob. We read of his brother's desire to be rid of him one way or another, and how they ultimately sold him to the Ishmaelite merchants who took him into Egypt. Now, it was not part of the brother's plans to return to tell Jacob what had really happened. So I want to pick up reading in verse 31 of Genesis 37 to see what they did. That's Genesis 37, verse 31 through 35. And the passage says, And they took Joseph's coat, and killed a kid of the goats, and dipped the coat in the blood, and they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father, and said, This have we found, know now whether it be thy son's coat or no. And he knew it and said, it is my son's coat. An evil beast has devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. And Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, for I will go down into the grave and to my son mourning. Thus his father wept for him. We can see the intensity of Jacob's feelings here. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. Jacob cried, I will go down into the grave and to my son mourning. We're told that he refused to be comforted. But Joseph wasn't dead. Joseph wasn't dead. If he had really been dead, could Jacob's feelings have been any stronger? No. Jacob was absolutely sure in his heart, but he had been misinformed and his feelings were wrong. Have you ever talked to someone about their salvation, had them say, I feel good? So you ask them why they feel good and they say, because I'm saved. So you ask, how do you know you're saved? And they reply, because I feel so good. Feelings can be wrong, brethren. Feelings can be wrong. So it is possible for feelings to be wrong. Can I truly know that I am a Christian and saved should the Lord return tonight? The answer to that question is yes. Yes. And let me tell you why. Turn your Bibles to Romans the 8th chapter with me, if you will. Romans the 8th chapter. And let's read verses 16 and 17. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. So you see, brethren and friends, from the testimony of two witnesses, we can tell if we are truly are children of God. We can see if we are truly an heir of God or not. Now, the two who gave testimony are the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of the individual. Notice now, the Spirit beareth with our spirit. The Holy Spirit does not bear two witness to our spirit, in which case there would only be one witness. Rather, the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit. So what we need to know is how this is done, so that there can be no question in our minds, so that we might truly have that blessed assurance that we sing so heartily about. Since the evidence of salvation is found in the testimony of both the Holy Spirit and man, we need to know in what manner or what way the Holy Spirit does this testifying. Does he do it in dreams, as some say? Does he do it in visions or in a small, quiet little voice whispering to us in the middle of the night? Does he do it in some better felt than told emotion? Well, the answer to each of those questions is no. Look at 1 Timothy 4 and verse 1 with me. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 1. Here we find, the Spirit speaketh expressly. The Spirit speaketh expressly. That which is to be understood from the Spirit comes from what the Spirit plainly says. But again, how does the Spirit speak? How does the Spirit speak? Well, as the time of the Lord's death was approaching, he told his apostles that he would send a Spirit unto them as a comforter and as a teacher and as a revelator and as a witness. Let's go to John, the 15th chapter now. John the 15th chapter in verse 26. Jesus is there, he's speaking to his apostles, and he said in verse 26, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeded from the Father, he shall testify of me. Now if you will, move over one chapter to chapter 16, and let's read beginning with verse 7. Now, it's the same setting. Jesus is speaking to his apostles, and he said in verse 7, Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, that he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. The Spirit, he says, will show you things to come. Turn with me to Acts, the second chapter now. Acts chapter 2. Now then, brethren and friends, this witness of the Spirit began to be delivered on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. Now on that day, sinners were convicted of sin, convicted of righteousness, and of judgment by the Spirit's testimony. And how was this testimony delivered? It was delivered through the words that were preached by the inspired apostles. That's how this testimony was delivered, by the inspired apostles. Now, as you turn your Bibles to Acts 2, we find in verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. As the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, if we continue through the chapter 2, we find Peter saying such things as verse 14. Verse 14, he says, "Hearken unto my words." And verse 22, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words." Verse 29, "Let me freely speak." Verse 37, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and they said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Now, friends and brethren, listen to me now. This is where we hear the testimony of the Holy Spirit. We hear it in the words of the inspired apostles. I hope you see this. In Matthew the 10th chapter, look with me at that quickly, if you will. Matthew the 10th chapter. Earlier, Jesus said to the apostles in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 20, he said, "For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you." And my brethren and friends, it is through the writings of the apostles and other inspired men today in the New Testament by which the Holy Spirit bears witness, which has to do with our assurance of salvation. But man's spirit must also offer testimony with the Holy Spirit. Man's spirit must offer testimony with the Holy Spirit. How does the spirit of man do this? Very simply, very simply. The spirit of man bears witness as to what the individual has done or has not done. Come with me to James, the first chapter. James chapter 1. Here we're told in verse 22, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty," that's the Bible, "but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." He said, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So when you or I look into the Word of God, there we find what we must do to be pleasing to God, and what we must be. That is the testimony of the Spirit. That is the Spirit bearing witnesses of what God would have us to do to be saved. My spirit and your spirit then testifies or bears witness as to whether or not I have done those things or whether or not you have done those things. If I have in fact done exactly what God says, then there will be the joint testimony of the two witnesses assuring of salvation, assuring us of heaven, and this is the only way. Now, I've had a lot of opportunities to talk to people about their salvation. When talking to these people, we talk about the absolute necessity of all the steps and the plans of salvation, hearing, repenting, confessing Jesus as the Son of God, and then being baptized for the remission of sins. But most of the day in the denominational world would respond this way: I ask the Lord Jesus into my heart as my personal Savior, and if I have accepted Jesus, I was saved, and then I was baptized sometime later. They are sure that they're saved. But listen to me now, brethren. That was their spirit bearing witness with what their preacher says, because that is not what God's Word says concerning salvation. Come with me to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21. 1 Peter 3 and verse 21. When 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 20 was brought to their attention, which the verse says, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, their response would be, I believe that. It's in the Bible. But they still insist they've been saved before baptism. You see, the Holy Spirit has said one thing in the Word, they're saying another. Therefore, it could not be the Spirit bearing witness with them that they were a child of God. But what of a person who has truly believed, truly repented, and confessed their faith and was baptized for the remission of their sins, because that is what the Spirit has revealed in the Word? What happens to them? Then that person's spirit can bear witness with the Holy Spirit that they have done what God through the Word has told him or her to do. And brethren and friends, there is the testimony of the two witnesses. Once an individual has become a Christian and been added to the Lord's church by the Lord, the bearing of witnesses does not stop. Jesus once said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. John 8, verses 31 and 32. The Lord does not add anyone to a denomination, and those who walk in a man-made denomination are walking outside of that which the Spirit has revealed. There can be no joint testimony in such a case. We must, brethren, we must continue our obedience to the Word of God in the way that we worship, the way what we teach, and how we serve. Only in that way will the Spirit continue to bear witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Brethren, that's how I can know that I'm a Christian, and that's how I can know that I'm saved and on my way to heaven. You may be honest and sincere and prayerful. Paul was honest and sincere, but he was not saved until he obeyed the gospel. The Ethiopian officer was deeply religious, but he was not saved till he was born of the water and of the Spirit. So do not resist the Holy Spirit like the Jews did to whom Stephen spoke. They resisted the Word of God that was inspired by the Holy Spirit, and in so doing they resisted the Spirit. Do not be afraid of the criticism of men. If you obey God, He will approve you, and that's worth more than all the praises of the men of the whole world. So why wait and live longer in sin? Or why try to enter into the kingdom of God any other way than obeying the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that Paul said made him free from the law of sin and death? You are enduring the most degrading poverty which a soul can be subjected, but God offers you wealth and riches beyond the loftiest imagination. You're covered with shame and degradation, but God offers you that you may share in the honor and glory which belong to the angels and His Son. You're guilty and justly condemned to a worse penalty to suffering than on any earth that can inflict, that any earth disease that any can inflict on you. But you know what? God offers pardon, full and free. You're afflicted with a disease of the soul which is millionfold worse than any leprosy for which the flesh is ever afflicted. But God offers you healing that is perfect and eternal. In a word, God offers to heal. He offers to redeem. He offers to save. He offers to immortalize, to fortify, to crown, and make you a joint heir with His Son to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Oh, the blindness and hardness of heart will cause you to refuse to live forever. Come then, eat the bread of life, drink the water of life, and live forever. If there's anyone here that's not a Christian, you need to come forward, repent of your sins, confess Jesus as the Son of God, because He most assuredly is. Then you must be baptized, immersed in water, for the remission of your sins. Then you'll rise from that watery grave, a new creature, born again, and on that road that leads to heaven. There may be some here this morning who have done this. But maybe you've left your first love. Maybe you've sinned in a way that others are aware of. Or maybe you haven't been coming to church as you should, and that's a sin. You too need to come forward and let us pray with you and pray for you. And as a Christian, we have the blessed assurance of eternal life with God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Won't you come forward now as we stand and as we sing?